So Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now remember, Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, and they're wanting to go back into Judaism. And some of them are on the fence post, and a few other waffling between, and chapter 6 addresses that more thoroughly. But this is the purpose. "Of whom we have been many things to say unto you, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, that you add your blessing to the reading of your word, and may it bless our hearts this evening. May I say nothing amiss. I pray that you'd help this voice to remain strong for the entire message. I pray that you'd be with Miss Cindy teaching next door. I pray for our church this week that we'll be thinking about what you've done for us. May we have a good service on Easter Sunday. May we have visitors. Lord, may you speak to hearts. We thank you for the way you've moved of late in our church. May we continue to see the Holy Spirit's moving. May we be in such a shape that we can be moved by the Spirit. May we be listening. So, Lord, bless our time together. May we examine our own selves when it comes to discernment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about discerning, choosing what we should and should not look at, possibly, especially on our screens. It was 1895, the first commercially successful moving picture was invented. In 1905, the first commercially successful movie theater called the Nickelodeon, built in Pittsburgh. In 27, the first feature-length talkie film was released. In 38, release of the first commercially available electronic television. In 61, the year of my birth, the first entertainment video called Space War, built by MIT. That was 62 years ago. In 71, first coin-operated arcade video game called a version of the Space War, which I don't think I've ever seen that. It immediately transitioned into desktop computers when those came out. And now 66% of Americans play video games. Matter of fact, it's more than that. One study said 70% of adults and 90% of children in the U.S. play video games as a norm, fairly norm. 70 and 90. 77, the first commercially released desktop home computers. Three manufacturers led by the Apple II, if you remember that. You remember the little floppy drives, the floppy drives, I forget what they're called, but they were actually floppy. Then you had the little discs like that, 3.5 discs, and then we went from there. 83, the first commercially available cell phone by Motorola. In 89, the first company launched to sell internet access to the public. In 96, the first phone with internet access launches in Finland with the Nokia 9000. In 2005, the first video uploaded to YouTube by Jawed Karim called Me at the Zoo, and now there are 5 billion videos watched daily on YouTube. Can you tell me what the number one video on YouTube is? Baby Shark. Baby Shark. Since 2022, Baby Shark holds the number one watched videos. There are over a billion hours daily watched. It's amazing. 2006. First television live stream service, Justin TV, launches in 2006. Every minute now, 97,000 hours of Netflix are streamed. Every minute, 97,000 hours are streamed on Netflix alone. 2007, we have the advent of the iPhone, the apps, the video, the MP3 player. The first smartphone running Android came in 2008. Twitch is now the largest live stream platform in the world. Twitch, it is called. In 2007, 2.5 billion smartphones in use. By 2020, is 5.22 billion in use, 66% of the world's users. In 22, now it's gone up to 6.5 billion. By 2028, expected to be nearly 8 billion smartphone subscriptions in the world. 8 billion. In the United States, the average adult spends 4 hours and 23 minutes on their smartphones daily. Does not include the other devices such as computers and tablets, etc. In 2021, consumers collectively logged a record 3.8 trillion hours on mobile devices, including smartphones and tablets. During that time, they downloaded 230 billion apps, spending a whopping $170 billion on mobile-related expenses. And in 21, the mobile devices operating worldwide, complete mobile devices, 15 billion. 15 billion, and by 25, 18.22 billion, according to Statistica.com. Ericsson says the current number of smartphones in the world as of 24 is 7.21 billion. And then, remarkably, 60.42% of the world's population now owns a smartphone, says BankMyCell.com. 60.42%. It has been life-changing. Do you not think the cell phone has changed our lives? People's necks, I'm surprising there's not been more people with a neck cramp from leaning over watching the phone and stepping off the curbs and stepping in front of a car and all those things and not paying attention to your spouse at dinner. There are sometimes people have dinners and you put your smartphones in the middle and the first one that grabs theirs pays for dinner. So just a thought. So, all these smartphones and tablets and computers, is it all wrong? No. Is it all good and right? No. Two things are undeniably factual. Screens occupy a larger and larger part of our life. Think about how the screens have come into cars. We were at Poppy's on Wednesday night, and look, this guy had a Rivian pickup truck. I've never heard. Anyway, it had screens all the way across. I said, man, I like that thing. It must be electric. Is that right? Rivian electric? Yeah, has screen. Wow, they're big screens. We just have, and if we're not careful, we're going to lose who we are as people. We are people. We are not the AI. You know, we're actually a real person in here. I'm not an automated robot, and you're not either, although they maybe come down the road if the Lord tarries is coming long enough, but we are people, and we need to have a relationship with people. So I need to be careful how much time that I spend, because it's not necessarily bad, but if it's taking me from the best, if we spent the time in the Bible that we spend, some of us, on the phone for not even just normal purposes, we would be spiritual giants. I'm thinking we would be. And so just... it is a screen cleaning. And so I've called tonight the subtitle of The Duster of Discernment. The Duster. We're going to try to get some of this stuff. Now, my daughter calls when her dog shed is called Floof. It's called Corgi Floof. People call it Fluff, but Corgi Floof. And so we're going to clean off and find out what we should be participating in, perhaps, and what we should not. That'll be especially be next week. Tonight, I want to center on discernment. Now, why is everything right and wrong not listed in the Bible? We've talked about it before. The Bible could not contain all the specifics. I don't know if I'd want that, because it probably would say diet Mountain Dew is not good for your health. So I don't think I'd want every single specific things in there. My wife would like that, but I would not want that in my Bible. So we'd have to have different Bible versions, because I would want that not, and she would want it. The Bible doesn't have to do that. There are principles in God's Word that we are to follow. There are. There are some things that are not even necessarily bad, but they draw me away from the best. I think we have struggled that with Christians. We've struggled the last several decades with that. So the Bible says, "For when," verse 5:12, "for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk," that's primarily, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and bad." So you've got to be using and reading and discerning to have your senses grown into being able to understand. The conscience, your conscience... it's not something, my conscience doesn't bother me about that. That's because it doesn't bother you, because you've not trained it to be bothered by it. So people's conscience, they can go out and perhaps go out and murder because they've seared their conscience. Or we can go out and do things. Your conscience only rings a bell what you've already determined is right and wrong. If you never determine in your conscience what's right and wrong, you can do whatever you want. Well, my conscience doesn't bother me because you haven't trained it. So when you're, as you read God's word, we discern, we grow, our conscience grows. So everything that has been, is now, or ever will be, right or wrong, cannot be listed in God's word. The writer tells his readers, when by virtue of the passing of time you ought to be in the college department, you're back in kindergarten doing your ABCs. Hebrew people, you've heard the gospel, we've told you about Christ, the new covenant is valid, and at the time when you should be leaving Judaism and going into Christianity, you still have to hear it all over again. You should have been listening the first time. Solid meat is for the mature. Now, who are the mature? Well, Pastor, they're the people who've been to seminary. Well, not so much. Someone who can win every theological debate. Not so. Who knows the most Bible verses? Now, that is very helpful, but that necessarily makes you mature. No, the writer says those who mature are those who've trained yourself through constant use of Scripture to distinguish between good and evil. And the more you train the self, the more you can fine-tune that thing. You can, as you tune pianos, which I'm certainly not a great piano tuner, I do that once in a while, but as you can hear it get just a little bit off there, a little bit off there, and as you do it more, you can hear it a little bit tweak, you know, it gets a little bit, your sense of understanding and hearing gets a little more fine-tuned. In the spiritual realm, the opposite of ignorance is not knowledge, but obedience. I think a trust and obey song. We sing that, but are we doing that? And that's how we grow in the Lord. The Bible is the primary means why God has provided the saints. Now we know saints in Scripture are believers or Christians to develop spiritual maturity, and there are no shortcuts. And typically, said many modern churches and even some Bible preaching churches today, they are jettisoning the pure milk and meat of the Word and substituting preaching of sermonettes for Christianettes. It is like Christianity light. If you've done the census, is it 2020 census came out and you filled it out, it'll say take you 5-10 minutes, fill it out, and turn it in, and send it off. I have one just on my desk this week. It's the U.S. Census for Business. And I was reading through how to do it, signing up. The census typically takes you 3.38 hours to finish. I think I'm going to farm that out to someone in my department to do. 3.30, I'm like, 3.38 hours for a census? And there we are. So, and when we turn in our environmentals, if you have an environmental light, it's like 12 pages. If you have a full-blown environmental, it's like 150, 200 pages of the environmental situation where you're going to put your building, etc. There is no Christianity light. We are to be sold out. We are to be on board with God. We are to be following Him. And so we need to dust off our activities. When we should be teachers, we are basically back in kindergarten. The word teachers there in 5:12 are those who are like torches, lighting other torches ablaze with the truth of the gospel. We should be sharing that gospel. I should, you should, we should have a knowledge of what the gospel is. When people ask us questions, we should be able to respond. I was told, there's one person, we're talking about different people I've met. He said, now when you talk with this person, do not say you don't know. I say, I'm not sure, I will find you an answer. But never tell this person you don't know because they're going to really start asking you more and more questions. Just say, I will find the answer for you for that one. But we should have, if we don't know the answer, get into your Bibles and start digging. The easiest thing is to call up somebody and say, well, what's the answer to that? And sometimes part of it is looking online. Questions.org is a great resource. PreceptAustin.org is a great resource to find answers. But it behooves us to get on board with following what God has said. We ought. The word ought there is a moral obligation. Back in chapter 5, verse 12. For the time ye ought, imposed either by law or duty, by matter of consideration. If you've been saved 40 years, I'm telling you, you ought to be spiritually mature. You ought to be. I mean, if we're not, it's just not really that reflects badly, well, on us, yes, but also on, really, the onus is on me. If I haven't grown spiritually, it's because I'm not men in God's word. And you have not either. We don't want to hear that necessarily, but if I am not spiritually mature, I have one person to blame. Me. Not you. Me. Me to blame. Because I know what I should do to lose weight. I keep telling myself every day in the mirror, man, you've got to start losing weight. You've got to start losing weight. Yeah, I know. And then, can I have another piece of pie, please? I know, that is not how you do it. Not how you do it. So we need to... It's a growing. You can repeat the same thing over and over. It doesn't work. It's growing in the situation. There was a high school principal of a high school in some time past, and he had an administrative post to fill. He promoted one of the teachers who had been there 10 years experience to the job. When the announcement was made, another teacher in his school came to him terribly upset. She said, "Mr. Principal, why did you put that teacher in this position? He's only been here 10 years of experience, and I've had 25 years of experience, yet you passed me over in favor of him." And the principal said, "I'm sorry, you're wrong. You haven't had 25 years of experience. You have had 1 year's experience 25 times. We need to grow. It's not the same old, and if you're stuck in a rut and you're the stick in the mud and you're just all grouchy, grumbly, all the time, getting God's word, allow his word to change us. Doesn't mean you have to be bouncing up and down all the time like that. Pastor Wayne was the same. Every time, it's like the same gentle, sweet spirit every time. Now, I know Linda could say there's sometimes he probably, we all sometimes get a little grumpy, don't we sometimes? Yes, I will answer for you. Yes, you do. I may not see it. And you may not see it in me, but we do sometimes. And if you don't realize that, perhaps you need to realize it more than you do. But discernment, what are we getting involved in? Speak just this past Friday on the briefing, the title of the article in the Wall Street Journal says, U.S. drastically falls in the United Nations happiness scale. The whole title was, U.S. slips from the top 20 of happiest countries. The Washington Post said, the U.S. hits new low in world happiness. And the report is driven largely by young people. Well, the truth is, the U.S. has fallen out of the top 20 happiest countries for the first time since 2012, when the whole thing was started, due in large part to the unhappiness of younger adults. So here's the most important thing, and here's why it's happened. Largely due to younger Americans who are reporting that they're less relatively happy. The issue that they're really talking about is the fact that the impact of social media makes on them, makes them lonely, makes them hurt, and leads them to isolation. You want to know why our young people are getting less happy? Because they're spending so much time seeing others who probably aren't as grandiose as they present themselves on the internet. And they'll say things they would never say to your face because they have the anonymity of the internet. And we have the ability to type great. But what kind of can you build a relationship with someone? Can you humbly serve with someone? Can you say, I'm willing to do the low-end jobs? It doesn't matter to me as long as, you know, we work together as a team. Are you willing to serve God as long as it's God's credit, not yours? Are you willing to do what it takes? And that's... We need that. Again, we're becoming so technologically minded that we're becoming no emotionally and family-wise good. What time you ought to be teachers? You have need that someone teach you again. Again, there's emphasis, emphatic. Again, you have need of being taught the very rudiments of the divine truth, the oracles of God. In the present context, to teach means to pass on the truth about the Word of God, the God of the Word, and the faith of the saints, with the goal of influencing the understanding and stimulating spirit-energized obedience. That is my goal for you and I, that we'll be obedient to God. Make Him the priority of our lives. First principles there, that word term there in chapter 5, verse 12. Says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. That would be, the word there means something orderly in an arrangement, as a one in a row, hence a letter in the alphabet, A, B, C, D, etc., of the oracles of God. The ABCs of the Christian life. To be sure, the plain things are to be the main things, and the main things are the plain things, but that does not mean we should not progress further than the plain things. So Tom and I, I'm teaching my office mate my job with the Dale invoices. He actually has a CPA, earned CPA. But if we are stuck on, now 2 and 2 is 4, 3 and 3 is 6. If I was here Wednesday night, 3 and 3 was 13. But we have these numbers. If we're doing that, I'm telling you, it's going to be a long process. Teaching the invoices that we have now has become, the curve has gotten nothing but greater and greater and greater. And so it's going to take 4 or 5 months to get him to where he'll be able to do them on his own. And then I'll be there. I'll be just down the hall. He can call me to help him with those turned in. If we don't turn them in by the 19th of the month, we're breach of contract and we don't get paid. So it's important that we get these things out the door in time. But there's this, the basics. We have to go beyond 2 and 2. By the way, 2 and 2 is still 4. Always will be 4. It's 4 now, 4 in the past, will be 4 in the future. Just in case you're wondering about schoolwork sometimes, et cetera, but still it's 4, no matter what the world says. By the way, our world is based upon the basic premises of things like that. Without that, society does not run. You're destroying the foundations of society when you say there's more than 2 people, or 2 genders, or just but 2. Have you seen the little, remember the Ken Ham, a long time ago, he had a picture of the castle and the cannons shooting the foundations out from the castle. If the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And so that's the way he's going to win in his mind. And he's doing a very, very good job of it right now. 5:13. Shall we go on? We shall. We're to focus on discern what's God's will and plan for our lives. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, and speaking of practical terms, I drink milk every single morning. So that verse does not mean I can't have my 2% milk on my glass of 2% milk every morning. That what that says is uses milk. Reference then is exclusive diet of milk. Adults, we drink milk. You may not drink milk, especially Kroger chocolate milk is my favorite milk of all. But it's not to be exclusively our diet. A young child that comes into the world, that's pretty much their exclusive diet, their mother's milk, typically, or formula, etc. But that's not to be us. We are to progress. If we see a 40-year-old drinking out of a baby bottle, we're going to say there's something's not right here. So we are not to be, so there we find it, and everyone that uses milk exclusively. Now, the old adage, the Dairy Council says milk does a body good. Well, I believe that it does. But that's for infants and children, and it's not to be the sole intake of the person who's fully grown. If all you're doing is taking in the milk of God's word, meat of God's word, or milk of God's word, sorry, the basic rudiments, you still must be a baby. You're infantile, if you would. We need to ask ourselves, are we still on a milk-only diet, spiritually? Are we still reading only devotionals, which have a few tidbits of scripture in them? Are we reading only Christian books instead of the book? And are you primarily listening to podcasts and CDs rather than primarily the teacher, the Spirit? I'm for helps, but nothing has ever superseded this. This is the primary thing, the way that we learn. The best commentary on this is this. Now, there are helps, yes, and I'm for helps. But this is hands down the most important part of your spiritual walk is God's word to us. Milk is good, but T-bone steak is much better. I was going to say filet mignon, but I'm not sure we know what, I was going to fill it big then. But T-bone steak is better. Can I encourage you to grow in the Lord, inductive Bible study, get your Bibles out and start reading, compare passages. I heard a preacher today, one of the men I listened to, who's very long-winded, hour at least, typically. And he said, you know, that you need to be, when you find something in the Bible, a term, a word, a people, you need to go to find that same word everywhere else in the Bible to understand the complete use. I said, wow, that's going to be a lot of, but that's part of studying. And he preaches question-wise. He asks almost all questions, and he doesn't answer them all so that you will go home and get your Bibles out and find the answer for next week. We need to be reading the Word. There are some things we don't understand, but there's plenty enough that we can understand with some work. With some work. Now, if you're like me, and you're working. By the evening time comes, there's one thing I want to do is take a nap before I go to bed. That's about it. Eat my supper, get in the easy chair, and take a nap. And I often, today I fell asleep five times working on the sermon for this evening, and my wife looked at me, who woke you up, the cat playing with the ball, or me, et cetera, coughing. And so I said, you know, I think next week I'm going to take my nap first, and then wake up, and then work on the sermon after taking my nap. So we're tired in the evening. We want to take a nap and then go to bed. My mother-in-law would say something similar to, I've got to take a nap to get enough energy to get up to bed. So there we are. So we're tired. It takes effort. Well, then do it in the morning. Study in the morning. Study at your lunch hour. I don't know, but if you don't, you're going to be what it says in 13. We're going to be babes, an infant. Very explicit. He remains spiritually as an infant. How do we know? Let's make it objective, not subjective. Those who integrate doctrine and duty are mature. Those who live what they learn, mature. Christianity is not a philosophy to be merely learned, but a life to be lived. Unless it makes some difference in your behavior, you have probably never truly encountered Jesus. The ultimate test of Christian maturity, validity, is obedience. To the degree that you obey Christ is the degree to which you are spiritually mature. Not how much you do, not how loud you sing, not how high you raise your hands, nor what spiritual gifts you have. It is how well do you obey Jesus. That is spiritual maturity. Period. That was from the Arrested Development, an article called Arrested Development. Spiritual discernment then comes naturally for the spiritually mature. Someone once said, the travesty of the church in America is that many, if not most, believers are betweeners. They're between Egypt and the promised land, out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rest and rich inheritance. Between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, saved by the blood, but not enjoying the newness of the resurrection life. We all need to ask ourselves, are we a betweener? Are you moving forward toward the promised land in our spiritual walk? How would one know if they're making progress? Well, have you graduated from spiritual milk to meat? A new Christian was reading through the Gospels. After she finished, she told a friend she wanted to read a book on church history. And the friend said, why would you want to do that? The woman said, I'm curious. I've been wondering when Christians started to become so unlike Jesus in church history. When did Christians become so unlike Jesus? If you're in step with Christ, I'm telling you, you're out of step with the world. You are. If you receive physical nourishment in the same amount you receive spiritual nourishment on a day-by-day basis, would you be healthy? Would you be healthy? If you took unspiritual nourishment and the same amount I take in, I would be a spiritual giant if I did that, because I know how much I eat, way, way too much. So if I did that spiritually, we'd be growing. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, both good and evil. Full age signifies, therefore, spiritual men, people who have attained to the highest degree of spiritual development. Growth in grace does not go side by side with growth in years. You could be a 90-year-old spiritual pygmy if you don't read the Bible and grow and work and serve Him. One well-known pastor, now you may not agree with everything here, but a well-known pastor exhorts all pastors to say, so I say again, the way to save yourself and your hearers is not to arrest the growth of your people by a meatless diet of salvation-only messages. The way to save the saints is to feed them all the Scriptures, for it is the Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. It's not just the Gospels are very important, and we want to offer the Gospel in some shape pretty much every service. Now, Wednesday night, we don't necessarily. But Sunday, we want to offer the plan of salvation. We're saved by grace. Especially Sunday morning, I want to incorporate that at some point in time in the message. But tonight, we're talking about once we're saved, what are we going to do now? We're to grow. Wearsby says, the milk of the Word represents the first principles of the Christian life, that is, when what Jesus did for us when He was here on earth. The meat of the Word is teaching what Jesus is now doing for us in heaven. His ministry as the high priest. How sad it is, he says, when Christians reject God's Word and stop growing in grace. As we apply the Word, we exercise our spiritual senses and develop spiritual discernment. It is a characteristic of little children that they lack discernment, so the baby will put anything into its mouth. An immature believer will listen to any preacher on the radio or television and think that it must be what God has said because the preacher said it. You should not be like that. It should be what the Bible says, regardless of who the preacher is. It's God's word to mankind, not the preacher's. Howard Hendricks says, "Who are the mature? The mature are those who by constant use have trained themselves by taking the word of God and using it in their lives to distinguish good from evil." That's the only way you're going to be able to make wise decisions is to base them upon the word of God, what God, and you have taught and learned and been taught and grow. The opposite of ignorance in the spiritual realm is not knowledge. Again, it is obedience. Someone penned these words. "I have a companion, a dear faithful friend, a union of blessing that never shall end. Till Jesus returns with his saints from on high, we'll travel together, my Bible and I." And that's it, my Bible and I. This exercise there in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern." Exercise the ability to discriminate between good and evil in the context of good and evil teaching, for the Hebrews had abused their perspective faculties in rejecting the light, and they've not exercised them unto true faith. They've not discerned both good and evil. It's in the perfect tense, which means a past action completing with ongoing effects. Josephus said of this word, it's called gymnasio, etc., says their military exercises differ not, speaking of the Romans, their military exercises differ not at all from the real use of their arms or weapons. But every soldier is every day exercised the same word, gymnasio, and they with great diligence, as if it were in time of war, which is the reason why they bear the fatigue of battles so easily. They have practiced just like they're in war. So when the wartime comes, they don't faint after the first few minutes, and they continue on, and the Roman army was a superior armor to almost every other army because they had prepared. You and I, if we're not prepared, we're going to go out into the world and we're going to collapse. We're going to fail because we have not prepared. We're not discerning the right from the wrong. You're on the internet, and some little blurb down here on the side will say, so-and-so is, look, the so-and-so is whatever. And man, you got to say no. Just get off of that. A little caption here. Well, so-and-so, so she, so-and-so, or this game is one of the most best graphic games in all the world. Has a pretty. They never show these big people like me with balding heads and fat bellies and things on there. But, you know, they show these beautiful women who are AI probably generated. So there's some things come very blatant, and then there's some things you must discern. How is that going to affect my Bible time? Discern, to judge, to distinguish between. The tester of discernment. What is the purpose of our lives? Our lives are to be used by the Lord. I read a story which is very convicting. A missionary called K.P. Yohannan, maybe perhaps from India, told a story about his mother. She prayed for one of her sons of the six to be a missionary. Every Friday, this lady for 3.5 years, she fasted for his 5 brothers who all became businessmen. She gave up on him, KP, the last one. One day before she died, KP was upset with her. "Mother, why do you wear the stitched up dress when your sons send you money every week?" What he found out was she spent all of her money from her sons to fund Bible college students and missionaries. All she had when she died was a ring, a few other pieces of jewelry, and she told KP, she said, "Sell those when I die to reach those who do not have the gospel. I want to meet them in heaven." That's something I'm just really afar from. I can't even get close to that. That we sacrifice everything for the gospel's sake. The two mites. If I was been the widow, I'd probably cut one and two and thrown in a half of one instead of two. Oh, I've got to have this. Where's my faith? Where's your faith? Where's my faith? What's really important? If we're discerning, we will trust the Lord. If we read, we got to read his scripture. "If not for a single day can I discern my way, but this I surely know. He who gives the day will show the way,
so I securely go. Where's my faith? I have a companion, a dear friend, faithful friend, a union of blessing that never shall end till Jesus returns with his saints from on high. We'll travel together, my Bible and I. May that be our heart's cry. We need to be people of discernment. And the next time we'll do a screen cleaning next Sunday evening. Let's pray. Lord, help me to be in your word daily, to be a student of your word, to long to grow, to see what you have for us each day. My Bible and I. Lord, how valuable are our Bibles to us. I trust they are beyond price. They are priceless. But Lord, they do us no good on the shelf, on the coffee table, by our bed, unless they are read. So Lord, may we be students of your word. May we be growing our senses exercise to discern what is good and evil. And may we choose what you'd have us do, the best, your will for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.